Welcome back to the Discovering Forestry podcast. My name is Corey. I'm one of your hosts. Alongside the star host and key witness, Arbor Joe Aitken, here for another compelling conversation about trees. Joe, beautiful day to be a tree. How are you?
I'm good. By the time this airs, it was interesting that I took the family down, because if you're not a big football fan, you might not know what's going on. And how this goes with trees, just bear with me, because I'm going to get there. So we took my two boys, my wife and I, down to Detroit. They're hosting the NFL draft. So they had this big outdoor event. So here we are. The big game was, how many football team jerseys can you find? And believe it or not, we found the whole league. Everybody was represented. So it was actually pretty amazing. So here we are on this huge event. And two people my son met just out of a crowd, they cut out this little area at 275,000 people and they shut the gates. So you're talking 250,000 people. Two podcasters that my son listens to on sports. They resonated like a beacon in the night. And I was kind of creeped out at first, because he ran after this one guy, hey, and yelled his name out. I'm like, man, I thought maybe a kid knew him from school or something. He's one of the podcasters. So we looked at him. Each of them are about, I think the one is 2.7 million followers.
What?
And what I'm thinking is that is the opportunity when you have something catchy enough, or you have to have in today's society, a shock and awe. So that's why I'm bringing it up. Is not that I'm saying that our guest's punchline is shocking and awful, but the way it's worded is enough to make you want to click on it and look at it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to do more of that on the podcast, but I'm just curious that once we introduce our guest, was that the intent, or is that just an amazing coincidence that because of the name, it resonates out enough to people's got to check it out even more?
Yeah.
So,
clickbait.
So, clickbait. Yeah. Yeah. I guess clickbait, but it's, yeah, bait, you're fishing.
Yeah. Well, and it's got to be catchy. It's got to be memorable. A lot of the businesses that we work with and municipalities that have programs like the one we'll discuss today have things that are memorable that you walk away from, and it either makes you smile or it makes you go to a computer or your phone and find out more. So hopefully we can do that with today's conversation.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's funny that we have to do that in today's society. And you and I've talked in the past that if you're not growing, you're dying. So we have to follow positive trends, even in the podcast, to make sure that we're hitting key terms and demographics and people, just to keep people tuning in. So I like it. Let's go for it.
Awesome. Well, today we're going to follow this trend that I've been following pretty closely since I moved back to Colorado in 2016. And we're going to talk about a program today that hopefully will make people click on through and hopefully listen through the entire episode. Our guest today is Lauren Abram, coming all the way from Denver, Colorado. Lauren, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. We're recording. It's Arbor Day. So what a great day to be talking about trees and tree programs. And yeah, it's a beautiful spring day here.
Is it really?
Yeah, it
because
is.
Because I thought, Corey, didn't you just say you had 2 foot of snow in the backyard?
No, we're going to get another foot this weekend. But right now it's beautiful up here in the high country. Denver's looking spectacular too.
All right.
So anyhow, we'll let Joe get back to his Michigan time. But Lauren, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you fell in love with trees and the environment?
Sure. Yeah. It's been a bit of a journey for sure. I'm originally from Virginia. A lot of forests out there. I grew up with a forest in my backyard. Always loved trees. went to school in Virginia for undergrad and really focused on biology and environmental science. Not really sure what I wanted to do with it, but knew I really liked studying the environment, and did a few things, worked in wetlands for a little bit, but then ultimately kind of took a chance to move out to Colorado working for a small nonprofit that did a tree planting program. And that's really how I got my start in urban forestry. And I really fell in love with it. It's kind of, for me, a great example of the dynamic between humans and the environment, which I was always so fascinated with. Like when I was studying biology, it's very about the biology, but I wanted to think more about what humans are doing and what role they're playing. And so that was in 2017, and I've kind of been in urban forestry ever since. Went to grad school at CSU and studied urban ecology, focused my research on kind of the role of land cover and the role that trees are playing in cities, and then ultimately landed a job at the City and County of Denver as a program coordinator on the Be a Smart Ash program.
Yeah, you said it.
I said it.
Well, it's awesome, but you said exactly what I was talking about. So say the program again.
Be a Smart Ash.
There we go. So isn't that just enough to make someone stop and think?
I would hope so. Yeah.
Especially if they're not tree people, you know, and there should be no bleeps in this episode, listeners. The program that Lauren's talking about is Be a Smart Ash. So Lauren, can you tell us a little bit about that program, either how it got started or the intention of that program?
Sure. Yeah. So it did start before I joined the city, but started around 2016 as a proactive response to emerald ash borer. Not sure who came up with the catchy phrase, but it's definitely taken off and gotten attention. EAB was found in Boulder, I think 2014 or so. So proactively wanted to think about the ash tree population in Denver. It was noted that 1 in 6 trees in Denver are ash. So that's a pretty significant amount of trees. That's both thinking about public and private trees. And so started with this planting program that is planting trees of other species, not ash trees, right? To increase diversity, increase the canopy overall, and then also incorporated a treatment program as well. So in the city, it's actually the adjacent property owner's responsibility to maintain trees in that right-of-way area, that space that's owned by the city, but kind of right next to your property. So city took a proactive approach to put some funding towards treating some large, healthy, mature ash trees with injections in the right-of-way, treating park trees to kind of help increase the health of the ash tree population and reduce the impact when EAB does get here.
I love it. And then when I was looking at the website, it's a great platform. You know, we joke about the catchy phrase, but if you look at the platform that you've created, you've already had it set up for other potentially problems. So you get them caught, but then when they get on there, they can realize that it's a platform to learn about other things. So yeah, ash tree's been there, emerald ash borer's been there for a while. And now if you look at it, as the world gets smaller, big communities are at risk for a lot of other things. I even seen that you had the old spotted lantern fly on there. Need to try to make something catchy about that one.
Yeah, we've definitely kind of shifted the whole idea of it. And what does it mean to be a smart ash? And like you said, we can kind of encompass some more things when it comes to the health of the urban forest, more insects or pests of note, disease of note, and just kind of trying to change the overall, I guess, idea of the program to be more comprehensive for the health and just being, a smart person when it comes to urban tree care.
So
I like it.
Lauren, what I've noticed over the years of doing work and helping some of our end users in the city and county of Denver is that a number of trees will be wrapped and identified as being an ash tree.
Mm-hmm.
Is that then the homeowner's responsibility? I know there's a, I think now maybe a QR code on it. I'm sure that's one way to educate people and get in front of them. What has the response been like on that? Because we, Joe and I talk to a lot of end users, and if a tree is marked in any form, people automatically think, oh, it's being removed. It's being removed. So what have you seen with your efforts?
Yeah, so those markings you're seeing, I'm pretty sure that's the tags on the larger ash trees. Those are the ones that we've treated. So not every ash tree is marked out, but those are the ones that we treat on a 3-year cycle. We're kind of maybe changing that a little bit just since that's been going on since 2016 as well. But so yeah, marking the tree once it gets treated, and I think it helps kind of bring awareness to people, maybe gets them to Google the website or kind of see what this is about, but also good for homeowners to know. I think a lot of people move here, they don't know the responsibility may fall on them for treatment, but in this case, right, the city has treated and we don't want to like double treat in that sense. So trying to keep track of it as well, and yeah, just bring awareness to it in general.
I think that's amazing. That what I heard is that your residents are responsible for that tree. Believe it or not, that's not common. And having the homeowner's responsibility to preserve that or not is kind of neat, because I've been in so many other cities where you couldn't touch it and the city didn't want to do nothing with it. So even if the homeowner had applied a treatment to that, the city still took them down. So having that inventory and the an investment in your urban forestry to have that so that doesn't happen is pretty remarkable. And I know it's hard to believe that some people didn't want trees, but yeah, there's municipalities that were just going to remove them all regardless. So giving the option or a means to log it in that if you wanted to preserve it or not. And it goes back to a good inventory. Is the tree worthy of a treatment or not? If it's half gone, leaning over the road, you obviously, just because the homeowner wants to put their arms around and save it, it might not be a candidate. But having a comprehensive survey would definitely help you in the long run of saving more trees and knowing which ones you got to get rid of and replant with.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned replanting. We also have another facet of the program is a removal and replacement program. So ash trees that are less than 12 inches in DBH, poor condition, we'll do ash tree stumps too. But getting those trees out, reducing that host material, and then planting new species in those places.
So does the homeowner get to pick the species, or is it kind of like the city and county of Denver do that?
Mostly falls on us, and kind of depends on what we have in our inventory. Sourcing trees is certainly a task, and homeowners, when they apply, they're welcome to kind of put in species they're interested in, or maybe if they want like a flowering tree, or certain attributes are easier to fulfill than specific species. So yeah, just the nature, because it's a free program, a little bit less involved in species selection in terms of what the homeowner wants.
Well, then does it fall on the homeowner, or is it still the city's responsibility once that tree is installed to keep it watered and to ensure that it takes root and grows?
Yeah, it does then fall on the homeowner, but everything is free of cost. The planting, the whole service probably runs around $400 to $500 a tree that they're getting for free with all of that planting and all of that work. And then there are some areas of the city that are lower canopy that we are trying to institute a kind of 2-year establishment watering. We're not doing it everywhere in the city. There are some neighborhoods that have a really great canopy already, but kind of helping to, it's not enough water probably to establish, but maybe to help a little bit with what the homeowner is doing as well.
All right. How many trees you got on the list? You guys got like this big list, because it goes to, you know, we talked about in the past that there's, you know, certain species grow certain places. You know, is there a big bag of tricks in there? How many trees do you got? Is, you know?
Gosh, yeah, we plant a variety of species. We kind of have our tried and true that we try to get every season. Kentucky coffee tree, hackberry, oaks, elms. And then, but for diversity's sake, we're always adding more. We got some pagoda trees this spring, which we were pretty stoked about, some golden rain
Oh.
trees. Try to reduce the number of maples, but still have a few in there. So yeah, kind of a across the board. And then also just kind of depends on what we can get. And we also like to kind of grab a few trees that we're not maybe sure about and might try them out and see how they do. And maybe that could be an option in the future. So it's kind of a cool opportunity to do that.
And Lauren, what is your favorite tree? I think I already know the answer because I was tooling around the website, but what is your favorite tree? And are you suggesting that people plant them in Denver right now?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, it is on the website. My favorite tree is the American sycamore. We do have some in Denver and they can do okay. One of my favorite ones is massive though, right? It's lifting the sidewalk. Probably not in the best tree lawn space. They just get so big, so you want to be really thoughtful about where you place them if you do plant them. I do think they're a little more finicky than some of our other more hardy species. So, if we're not planting sycamores, we have like a few plane trees, I think, that are going in. But yeah, I think just the size of them is a little precautionary, I guess, where we're putting them.
Well, and a lot of folks don't realize. So, Denver, Colorado is pretty high elevation, but it's also pretty far south. And it's very dry compared to where a lot of these trees would like to live. I mean, for instance, you brought up ash and maple. Those just do so well in the Midwest and out east. You bring them out here, those canopies look a little thinner, a little bit stressed. We get the snow loads, especially this time of year. I've got cottonwoods here at 9,000 feet that are just about to push. So we get a heavy snow, heavy wet snow like we're projected. I mean, that's got to make your job even more challenging because one year that tree can look fine, the next you get a snow load and that condition rating goes way down.
Yeah, for sure. I'm more on the young side of things, so those trees are a little more, I think, resilient when it comes to that, right? But you do have to think about where you're putting things and what the future may hold in terms of, yeah, those loads and those storm events. And yeah, I'm from Virginia, right? So trees grow like just from an acorn, they'll just like pop up. So it is funny to think about Denver is supposed to actually just be plains, right? Like if you drive east, that's what it's supposed to look like. And the only native trees are the ones along kind of the gulches and the streams, those cottonwoods. So I think a lot of folks don't think about that in the city, right? They're like, oh, I want a maple, I want this, I want that. We're like, okay, we need to be a little more thoughtful though, just because it's so hard to grow trees here.
Yeah. No,
It's a
you hit it on
great
the
point.
head. Yeah. Well, and I'm wondering too. So the program Be a Smart Ash, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's a city run program. So are you finding you're getting a lot of pushback or a lot more buy-in? How does that look? Because a lot of these other programs are 501c3s, nonprofits. What is the buy-in been for this?
From the city itself or homeowners or.
Yeah, let's look at it from both perspectives. The city, because I do remember when it started in 2016, the mayor was there, but also the homeowner's perspective, because that's probably where you might have some more interesting stories or negative feedback.
Yeah, I think for the most part, it's pretty well received. We do have some partner organizations that do tree planting as well, and it's really great to be able to partner with them because they can do private property. And that's something that we're a bit limited in, right? Because we're using city money, we have to plant on city property, in that case. But for the most part, like people are so stoked to receive trees. And we try to make the process as easy as possible, communicate via email every step of the way. But we do talk about, you're creating this experience and while from your side of things, it's kind of equitable across the board, but how people receive it might be a little different. So there are some folks who are maybe a little displeased. They wanted a different species. They feel like they didn't get communicated with, but maybe the emails went to their spam folder and things that are just kind of out of our control. And we do try to be really upfront when people are applying, like, you won't get to pick the species and this is what's expected so that they shouldn't be surprised by any of the process.
It's just communicating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was looking on, I'm looking at your website and I hit the wrong button. And then I found a portable incinerator called the Smart Ash. So I don't think that's you. You're not killing them and burning them. So pretty cool. So you said, all right, we're actually recording on Arbor Day. What's going around the city on Arbor Day? Anything cool?
Yeah, we'll have an Arbor Day celebration in a couple of weeks. We're going to be doing a planting in Cheeseman Park, scaled down a little bit this year, but typically every year we do a pretty big planting in a park, try and get some volunteers, make a little event out of it. Yeah.
Did I say Arbor Day or Earth Day? What day is it? It's Earth Day.
Today's Arbor Day, Joe. Earth Day was Monday, but this whole week is Earth Week.
Oh, my God. I don't even know where I'm at. And then we're talking about that. So today is Arbor Day, which falls within Earth Week.
Exactly.
Because it was pretty much a whole week of Earth. Well, every day should be Earth Day.
I agree. So
you gotta look bigger. 30,000 foot view. Every day is Earth Day. But Arbor Day comes once a year. I don't know why I got those mixed up. I've only been in the business 40 years.
Well, that comes with age, Joe. it's like Christmas only comes once a year. So Lauren, as we're keeping the conversation rolling and kind of coming to an end, obviously we'll put a website in the show notes for people, but is there anything that you want to, any message that you want to relay to our listeners in terms of either they're starting a program or managing an awareness program such as you're doing right now? Any light you could shed for them?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things you said, communication is a big part of it. You want to be talking to folks, receiving feedback, adjusting your program accordingly. We try to, you know, streamline processes or how can we communicate it better? And then ultimately with planting young trees, right, it's right tree, right place. We're planning for the future. I love that I get to do that. I'm so excited to see what Denver looks like in 30 years and say I played a part in that. But don't want to cause any problems. So you want to be really intentional about what tree you're putting where, especially in an urban setting, and balancing that with infrastructure. So all of those things are so important. And have fun with it. I think it's a really fun program and a fun way to impact your city.
Yeah, so listeners, go out there, be a smart ash. Come up with other fun taglines. Let Joe and myself know what you come up with. But Lauren, we're grateful for the conversation. Thank you for taking the time. And obviously Denver Forestry for all you do to keep the canopy green.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great topic today.
Yes, and lots of good information.
Yeah, probably one of our best yet.
If you enjoyed the podcast or have topics you would like to discuss, please send them to discoveringforestry@gmail.com. And please hit the subscribe button and tell a friend.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Corey.
Signing out.